What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Nick Kostos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Penny. Nick Kostos, our unbelievable crew, and whoever the hell you are. I love all of you. Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up about 20 minutes from now, a very newsy Tuesday night in the NBA, and we will get to some of the biggest stories, including Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder, as the kids would say, getting their lick back against Victor Wembanyama and the I'm so old, I'm 42 years old and I feel like I'm 80, beating the San Antonio Spurs last night for the first time in four tries this season. So we'll talk about OKC, and we're going to play the sound for you of what Giannis did last night to the crowd in Milwaukee, to the home crowd. And if you haven't heard it, if you haven't seen it, I think you are going to be very, very surprised. Adam Lefkoe from Turner Sports will join us later this hour. Maybe, you know, Ernie Johnson's still around, still doing it. I think Lefkoe is maybe the best studio host in all of sports TV right now. Lefkoe will join us later this hour. Very much look forward to that. All my bets for tonight will wrap up the show here in the final hour, here in the Power Hour. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, let me know your favorite bets for the night. YouTube.com/@thekostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. You can call as well at 310-840-4910. Just to reiterate the big story of the day, Mike Tomlin stepping down yesterday as Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. I think this is a win for Tomlin and a win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tomlin gets to go, and by all accounts, he's going to do TV next year, I have heard through the grapevine. I won't insult the memory of the late, great Marvin Gaye by singing that song. But I have heard that he will go to Fox and replace Jimmy Johnson, basically, on the set of the NFL pregame show. We will see if that's true or not. I'm not reporting it, just that I think that that's what may happen, that Mike Tomlin may go to Fox, which means he gets a year off and gets to make a lot of money and gets to entertain all of us. So he wins and we win. And if he decides in a year or two he wants to go back to coaching, he'll get to pick his team, and likely will be a team with a young, established quarterback. He's a big winner. We as fans are big winners. And the Steelers are big winners. Because now, they get to reset. Hit the reset button on their franchise. And I hope that they will no longer be in the fruitless pursuit and mired in the vicious cycle of 9-8 and the vicious cycle of 10-7. It's time to accept reality. That 4-13 might be good for this franchise, while acknowledging that should never be the goal, just knowing that 4-13 in 2026 would serve this franchise better than 9-8. Got to get more young talent on this roster. An old, aging roster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yeah, they've got to get the quarterback position correct. There's absolutely no question about it. That's the most important thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, even more important than the next head coach. But there's one thing yet that we have not discussed as it concerns Pittsburgh. And that is TJ Watt. Now, you may hear me say this, watch me say it on YouTube, and this may sound like sacrilege to you. football sacrilege. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers need to trade T.J. Watt. Now, before you jump down my throat, well, now you're saying the Eagles should trade. You want everyone to trade everybody? That's not true. The A.J. Brown thing is way different than the T.J. Watt thing. I think we need to ask and answer some questions about the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? And I would encourage you, the listener and viewer, like, I have an opinion here, but you can disagree with me. I think you're wrong, but you can disagree. Do you think, legitimately, that there is an outcome that exists where the 2026 Pittsburgh Steelers can win a championship? Be honest. Does that outcome exist? I think the answer to that question is no. And probably not in 27 either, if you're going to do this the right way. Like, not half-assed do it. Like, try and go 9-8. Like, no. You're trying to go 14-3, 13-4, 12-5, 15-2, win a Super Bowl championship. T.J. Watt's going to be 32 next year. Does his timeline, as he continues to age, I don't mean this as an insult. Like, T.J. Watt's a Hall of Fame player, a legendary player. I don't know that his timeline matches up with the Steelers' timeline to legitimately contend. They could talk themselves into it. I just don't think it's possible. So if you could get a bunch of draft capital for T.J. Watt, why wouldn't you do that? And really, again, do this the right way. Tear it down to the studs. Rebuild this son of a bitch back up. Why wouldn't you do that? Life is chess, not checkers. In chess, sometimes you purposefully take a step back so you can take three steps forward, a couple moves down the board. I know Steelers fans don't want to hear it. I understand. And you may hear me say that and think I'm crazy. But ask yourself that question again. Will the Steelers be able to actually win, not go 9-8, not go 10-7? Actually contend for a Super Bowl championship in the next couple years? I think that answer is no. And if that answer is no, I think they need to seriously look into trading T.J. Watt and get as much draft compensation possible moving forward. The one loser in the Mike Tomlin news is Aaron Rodgers. Mike Tomlin had come back. You could have made a case Aaron Rodgers is the week one starting quarterback next year. Now, there's no case. Who's coming in and bringing Aaron Rodgers back next year? He's going to be 43 next year. And I'm not an anti-Aaron Rodgers guy. I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's entertaining. I think he can still play to a degree. But at this point, at his age, with the baggage that he brings, with how Monday night went, zero chance for the Steelers in that game against the Texans defense, I think it's more than likely his career's over. And if and when that happens and he retires, it'll be a really interesting conversation. So people are all over the place on Aaron Rodgers. But one thing you cannot question, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league, and it will be the closure of an era of NFL football if and when Aaron Rodgers retires. And we'll talk about that if it happens here this offseason. You better, you bet. And Westwood One Sports. We do have a tie-in to the Aaron Rodgers, to that, to what I just said about Aaron Rodgers, because Rodgers, earlier in the week, on Monday night, after the Steelers lost, kind of gave a shout-out to his former head coach in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, basically saying that this is not how the NFL used to operate. Coaches like LaFleur didn't used to be on the hot seat. So Rodgers stumped for Matt LaFleur, and Matt LaFleur came out and was like, I'm so enamored with the fact that this happened. Like, I'm so thankful to Aaron Rodgers he didn't have to say that. Now, Rodgers, you know, said what he said about LaFleur because of the years they spent together winning in Green Bay. The Packers have kept winning with Jordan Love, but a lot of people think that Matt LaFleur's time has come in Green Bay with the Packers. We told you on Monday that LaFleur and the Packers and their team president, Ed Policy, were going to work towards a long-term extension. Take a listen to what ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter had to say on ESPN Milwaukee this morning about Matt LaFleur moving forward.
The way I would interpret it right now is it's up in the air. And I believe firmly that most places would have a high level of interest in Matt LaFleur. I don't know whether they wouldn't hold him up and say, okay, Team X, you want him, give us a third round pick or a second round pick.
So that's interesting, right? That all of this LaFleur consternation playing out publicly, the negotiation playing out publicly, he still has 1 year left on his deal. So you've got three options. Fired, extended, or traded, and then the team that trades for Matt LaFleur extends him. If I had to guess right now, and I want to be honest about this, I've been wrong about the LaFleur situation for a while now. And Bill Zimmerman said he's right. He could be a lame duck. I think that's the least likely outcome. I've been wrong on the LaFleur stuff for like a week now. I thought he'd be gone already. I've gotten a lot of stuff right. I've been wrong on this. My guess is, I don't know how it will happen. My guess is right now that he's not the Packers coach next year. But again, my instincts on this story have been wrong for about a week now on Matt LaFleur. So I can definitely be wrong about this. Now let's just say that I'm right. You better you bet on this Wednesday. Nick Costos here with you on Westwood One Sports. Let's say I'm right and Matt LaFleur is fired. And if he gets traded, then like the team that trades for him will obviously have its next coach, right? Miami, Tennessee, Atlanta, whomever it may be, another team, who knows? There will be up to, if Matt LaFleur is gone in Green Bay. And but I'll just say this. I don't think Sean McDermott's out of the woods in Buffalo, despite the win this past weekend against the Jacksonville Jaguars. There will be at least 9 and an upwards of 11 potential vacancies this NFL offseason.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Now, John Harbaugh is a no. John Harbaugh's getting a job. Like, we know that, right? Is he the only guy that we know is getting a job? Like, 100% is getting a job. I think Kevin Stefanski's going to get a job. Like, I think Jesse Minter's going to get a job, but we kind of don't know that. Like, Harbaugh seems like the only one that's definitely going to get a job. And we can obviously name names that we think will get jobs. Out of everybody, and if Tomlin wants to coach and the Steelers work out some compensation, it feels like that's not going to happen, but Tomlin would get a job also. There's one name that is in the bucket or under the umbrella. I kind of hate both of those turns of phrases, and I use both of them in a row. Whatever. There's one name that's in the group of coaches that maybe will get a job that I think it will be. To quote Ric Flair after losing the WWF title to Macho Man Randy Savage, we just need this soundbite, Kenny and Bill. We got to get this soundbite of Ric Flair saying, this has been a miscarriage of justice. Where will be a miscarriage of justice if this guy doesn't get a head coaching job? That guy, Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores. Now, Brian Flores does have, like, a lawsuit right now against teams and against the league for, like, the way things went down a few years ago with the Giants. And we don't have to get into the particulars of that. Here's what I know. Brian Flores is one of, if not the, best defensive minds in all of football. The Minnesota Vikings this year went 9-8 with a quarterback trio of J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, and Max Brosmer. A winning record with those three quarterbacks, which would be like if like you were running like an election campaign and Charlie Sheen were your candidate and you won. How? Because he's an absolute stud and a monster defensive coordinator. And people will want to say, well, you know, he didn't play nice in the sandbox with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. Who cares? Grow up. Tua Tagovailoa didn't like it, right? When you know, Brian Flores was hard on him, right? How'd that turn out, right? Like, please, we are such like a wimpy society We're such a bunch of like mealy-mouthed participation trophy losers that like we can't handle when someone wants to coach tough and talk tough and be a little mean if it comes down to it. Grow up. It's professional sports. Grow up. This is how life is. You don't get a participation trophy. You don't get to just go and like be bad at your job or be average at your job and get patted on the ass and told you're doing well. Get over it. Now, does Flores need to do a little better in that regard? I'm not saying you could just like be mean to your players. That's not what I'm saying. And by a lot of accounts, he was not good with his offensive coaches. And I'm sure a lot of that's true. I understand. If Brian Flores can fix any of that, how is he not like the best candidate for a lot of jobs, including, and this is the one where I'm just like, how do you not make this hire? If you're Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta, and the Baltimore Ravens, and you want a coach to come into Baltimore and kick ass and take names and get Lamar Jackson up to speed, how is Brian Flores not your guy? The Minnesota Vikings offense this year had to basically rig it at the end of the year to get Justin Jefferson. You know, the best receiver in the league. Over 1,000 yards. That's how bad it was on offense. And they went 9-8 because of him. Because of Flores. And I like Kevin O'Connell, but like, you think it was Kevin O'Connell's offense that got them over the hump? Or was Brian Flores' defense? Who basically ended the Lions season on Christmas with that performance. He should be a head coach again. And if he's not, I may file a lawsuit. I'll do it so he doesn't have to. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, someone who wants to bet, I'll tell you what, they name Flores the coach, I'm betting them to win the Super Bowl, I'm betting them to win the AFC, I'm betting them to win the AFC North, I'm betting them over the win total. And I was anti-Baltimore in past seasons with John Harbaugh. You hire Flores, I'm way in on the Baltimore Ravens. You want to fix that defense? You want to get Lamar, like, stop coddling Lamar Jackson? Great. He's your guy. If he is not hired this offseason and doesn't get a job, it will be a miscarriage of justice. Coming up next here on this Wednesday, You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. We will play the Giannis Antetokounmpo sound from last night that you will have to hear to believe, and why I think Giannis's time in Milwaukee is numbered. You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.